Translation: the more the five members of the Panchatattva cause the rains of love of God to fall, the more the inundation increased and spread all over the world. Please repeat. The more the five members of the Panchatattva cause the rains of love of God to fall, the more the inundation increases and the spread and spreads all over the world. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Krishna consciousness movement is not stereotype or stagnant. It will spread all over the world in spite of all objections by fools and rascals that European and American malechas cannot be accepted as brahmanas or sannyasis. Here it is indicated that this process will spread and inundate the entire world with Krishna consciousness. Oma gyatmanandasya jananjana salakaya chaksuram militam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa gadamayam dadati svabhadantikam. Vancha kalpatirubhyascha kripa sindhu bhaiva cha patitananam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. So today's class is a continuation in some sense of yesterday's class. It's the same subject matter, how the inundation of Krishna consciousness is affecting this world. Yesterday someone was asking about Kali, and we explained how how vicious and obnoxious Kali actually is. And I was able to bring up this particular drama that I mentioned, which I saw many, many years ago, which was very well presented and gave exactly in exact form what to expect in this age of Kali. And I'm going to read some of it now, and you'll most likely recognize a lot of what is being described here by Kali himself. In fact, this is a conversation between Kali and his consort Sin. Is that okay that I read this out here? So this is Kali, he begins to speak. This is my age, O Queen. Lust has just begun. I'm allowed 400,000 years in which to have my fun. Wars, plagues, suicides, droughts, money, liquor, and lies. Rapes, bombs, diseases. Such a feast for my eyes. Rejoice, rejoice, O Queen. With perverted desires, Will I flood the mines? They'll be vultures for pleasure, but only torment will they find. I am illicit sex, such a delight, for a moment's pleasure, like dogs they will fight. And if a child is conceived by chance, to be rid of the inconvenience, they'll kill the baby within the womb, making the rubbish bin his tomb. Woman hunters will scavenge the night, and they'll slaughter the cows for their appetite, which brings us to meat eating. What would you like for dinner tonight, dear? Some freshly killed pigs, chicken, or steer? Maybe Christmas turkey, rabbit, or lamb. Callie says, no, love, tonight I shall eat my fellow man. I will get you all, just wait and see. I'll have no compassion and no drop of mercy. Gets even more heavier. Intoxication. Would you like a cigarette, sir? Some coffee or tea? Maybe you would like some burgundy. I don't know what that is, but I guess it's some intoxication. Huh? French wine, okay. What? Not enough? Hey man, try some hashes or LSD. A mystic vision do I guarantee. Whatever you want, you just come to me. Worshipping God? There will hardly be any, but even the pauper will worship his penny. They'll have no idea of life, how life began, but their lives will end with a nuclear bang. Come on, enjoy your life. Do your own thing. It's all absurd. Forget tomorrow. Just have some fun. It doesn't matter. It's all one. Blow your mind, then let it run. The gods will be science and mental speculation. Today it was established the universe came out from a big explosion. Leaders of society, so filled with lust, they'll be bribed to see the only way to bring about peace is to rid the world of me, Kali. They'll try to be masters of the world and enjoy a life of ease, but they will create a hell of concrete skies and plastic trees. Like rats, they will race at frightening speeds, encaged in cars of steel, and they will work like slaves to feed their shiny coffins on four wheels. What a tangle web we'll weave. We'll hypnotize their brain with senseless songs and television. We'll cripple their bodies with junk food, chemicals, and pollution. We'll twist their minds with political lies in books and newspapers, and we'll break their hearts in their godless schools. And this is just the beginning. You wait till we get going, for I am Kali. And Sin says, and I'm his consort Sin, a And when we're done, you will see how heads will spin. For I am Kali, and I am Consort Sin. You will eat one another, even kith and kin. For I am Kali, and I am his Consort Sin. You'll all be old men by the time you're 10. For I am Kali, and I am his Consort Sin, and this is the age that we will do you all in. Does that sound a little bit familiar yet? Yes, it does. And I have one other little story to tell in regards to how Kali tried to make his entrance into this world towards the end of Dwapara Yuga. This story is told in the Mahabharata. And it was when Maharaj Yudhisthira was reigning as king. He had a policy that each day he would set aside 1 or 2 hours for anyone who wanted to come and complain or had some particular problems or difficulties. So they would come during that particular time. So one day, he was on his throne, and in the room next to him was Bhima, who was at the door of the castle, and he would be the one who would first ask, "What do you want?" So the first person came. "My dear Bhima, I need to see Yudhisthira. I have a very big problem." So Bhima asked, "So what is your problem?" So he said, "Well, I have this garden, and in order to protect it, I have a wall. I placed a wall. For security reasons, I put a wall around this garden. But for some reason, I don't know how to explain it, but the wall is coming into the garden and knocking over all the vegetables. How to explain that? Can you tell me?" So Bhima said, no, "This sounds like something for Yudhisthira. You go in and ask Yudhisthira. He will surely give you an answer to your problem." So he went in to meet with Yudhisthira. So then another person came. He had also a big, big problem. He said, "Bhima, I have this bucket of water, and I poured that water into 5 containers. And when I placed the water back into the bucket, there was less water in the bucket. How do you explain that?" So again, Bhima said, "Well, I cannot explain, so better you go and ask Yudhisthira. I'm sure he will give you a solution to your problem." Then a third man came. He said, "Bhima, I really must see Yudhisthira. I have such a big problem." So Bhima said, "So what's your problem?" He said, "Well, I was taking my elephant for a walk, and as we were walking, there was a wall which we had to pass through under this arch. So as we passed through it, the elephant managed to go through the arch, but his tail got stuck." He said, "I really cannot understand that. Can you give me a solution to that problem?" He said, "No, this is definitely Yudhisthira's problem. He will give you a conclusion. He will give you an answer for that. So he also went in. And then a fourth man came. And he said, big problem. You will not believe, Bhima, what has just happened to me. So Bhima said, well, it could not surely be any worse than what has already arrived today. He said, well, my problem is absolutely amazing. He said, you know that big hill down the road there? That huge hill full of boulders like concrete, or not concrete, stone boulders. They're piled on top of each other like a mountain. He said, there's no vegetation anywhere except for one vine, and I just happened to pull out that vine from in between the rocks, and suddenly the whole mountain collapsed. There's no longer any mountain. How can that be possible? So he also said, well, you better go in to see Yudhisthira and ask him. He will surely, these are kind of things which he likes to sort out. So he will surely give you an answer. Of course, Bhima was waiting for the conclusions. So he was waiting for them all to come back out and hear all the conclusions. But he waited and waited and waited, and no one came out. So he was thinking, well, that's strange. Well, I'm not going to wait any longer. I'm so curious. So let me go in and find out what's going on. So he went into Yudhisthira's chamber. And Yudhisthira was just sitting on his Vyasasan all alone. And he asked Yudhisthira, so what happened to the four men that I brought in to see you? And Yudhisthira asked him, what four men? He said, well, I brought four men. He said, one of them, let me read this up so I don't get it in right order. He said, the first man, he has a vegetable garden with a wall around it, but the wall is moving in and eating the vegetables. So Yudhisthira suddenly sat up. He was intrigued. Really? Tell me more. Yeah, the second man, he had this bucket of water. He poured it into five cups and poured it back, but there became less water. Yudhisthira sat up even more. Really? Tell me more. Well, the third man, he has an elephant. He went through a hole in the wall with the elephant, and the elephant's tail got stuck in the wall. Yudhisthira sat up even more and said, get those men. Find them, catch them, and lock them up. And Bhima was totally bewildered, and he said, what? What is going on here? Please tell me. And then Yudhisthira, he replied, they are personifications of Kali Yuga. He said, but it's not Kali Yuga yet. It is only Dwarpa Yuga. So catch them, lock them up, and don't let them loose. So then, he said, the man with the encroaching wall represents leaders and the governments. They are meant to protect the people from the thieves, but they become the biggest thieves themselves. And then the buckets of water poured into five cups, but then gets less back. He said, that is like the children in Kali Yuga. The parents put so much effort into them And then when the children grow up, they just go their own ways and they don't reciprocate and give some proper reciprocation to their parents. Then the third man, the elephant goes through the hole in the wall. It has a big hole, but the tail gets caught. Yudhisthira said, in Kali Yuga, many of the big government people and big corporate business people are big crooks, but because they are so powerful, they can get away with anything. And some little man does something, some little crime, some little fraud, or something like that. He gets caught, and then there is a big story in newspaper, fraudster is caught. Huh? What's that? What's that? Yes. Then Bhima asked, well, what about the fourth man who pulled the creeper from the boulders, the mountain of boulders? Yudhisthira said, yes, that is very good. He is showing that in the Kali Yuga, even though it is a mountain of faults, just with one little thing, just chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the whole mountain of faults just collapses. Hari Hari Bol. Oh, a nice story. We can see how eager Kali was to make his entrance. I'm not sure where this comes from, but I remember reading it somewhere, that when Krishna was winding up his pastimes and ready to go back to his abode, he became quite concerned that even though he had spent, you know, all this time, at least 125 years of wonderful transcendental pastimes, and that now the age of Kali was coming into view, how would the people of this age, how would they understand his pastimes, his appearance, his pastimes and disappearance, which states in the Bhagavad Gita that if we do understand it, then we will go back home, back to Godhead in this very lifetime. So his concern was that no one will go back home, back to Godhead, even though I've been here for so long and demonstrating these wonderful pastimes. Who in this age of Kali Yuga will understand them? So that was his concern. So at that moment he made a vow that he would return in this age and freely distribute love of God to even the most stone-hearted persons. So this was his causeless mercy. He is the most magnificent of all of Krishna's incarnations, because even though that within this age there's no reason for us to be sitting here today listening to Srimad Bhagavatam and the pastimes of the Panjatattva, somehow by their great mercy we are sitting here and we are benefiting so much from that mercy. Of course, once Prabhupada also made this point, this was in Hyderabad, in a big, big Pandal program. After his class, one man rose to his feet and he inquired, what about overpopulation? And of course, usually Prabhupada would explain something like, well, the world is not overpopulated because everyone's living in the cities and there's so much land out there. I'm traveling all the time. I'm seeing so much land that is not being cultivated. So what is the question of overpopulation? But in this particular instance, he said something different, which was quite interesting. He He said, yes, the world is overpopulated because no one is going back home, back to Godhead. He said, the system is jammed up. The system is jammed up, and no one is going back home, back to Godhead. Rather, there's a repeated birth and death within this world. Of course, the conclusion is that the essence of everything that we're doing today and our future days of Krishna conscious activities, devotional service, is ultimately to go back home, back to Godhead. During that same time, when Krishna was about to leave, Ganga Devi also approached Krishna. She said, you're going back home, back to Godhead. I want to come too. I don't want to stay here. Kali Yuga is just beginning. I don't want to be affected by all the sinful reactions of the people who will bathe in my waters. So please allow me to come too. That was her request. However, Krishna replied, he said, don't worry, because there will be a great associate of mine who will come in this age, and he will distribute love of God throughout the world. He's my commander-in-chief, Bhakta. He will come, and Krishna consciousness will be spread all throughout the world. And for a thousand years, there will be Krishna consciousness, and there will be Ekavarna. Ekavarna meaning that everyone would be a Krishna bhakta. He said, then after that period, the full force of Kali Yuga will then take place, and at that time, your waters should then go under the earth and wait for the next Satya Yuga, and then you can rise again. So this is actually a statement from the Brahma Vivarta Purana, and I think that's an interesting statement, because Krishna himself 5,000 years ago predicted that Prabhupada would appear. Actually, he also said to her, he said, also don't worry about the sinful reactions that you're receiving from non-devotees and rascals, because the devotees from all parts of the world will come to Navadvipa each year and bathe in your waters. And he said, by that bathing, your waters would be purified. And I asked actually Jayapataka Maharaj about this, because he once quoted this same quotation of the conversation between Krishna and Ganga Devi, because I said to him, well, you know, I don't know about you, but for me, when I approach the Ganga Devi, I don't approach her to purify her. You know, it's not like, okay, Ganga Devi, are you ready? I'm coming. And you dive in and say, okay, now you're purified, okay? I've done my service for you. That's not our mood when we bathe in Mother Ganga, but rather, it's a mood of, well, it's one of the ways in which we can continue receiving purification. So I asked him, and he said, what this means is that the culmination of all the Sankirtan devotees who are coming from all over the world, the culmination of them all taking bath within Ganga Devi's waters, that will purify her waters. If I'm not mistaken, Sarasvati, she is already under the earth, flowing under the earth. She appears in, I think, one or two places, but otherwise, as far as I understand, they have machines nowadays which can see the flowing of water under the earth. And Sarasvati is clearly visible. And Ganga Devi will do the same. As Krishna says, when the full-fledged effects of Kali Yuga take its force and place. Before Advaita Acharya appeared, his mother had a dream. She dreamt one night that Shiva was feeling great compassion for the people of this age, and he was thinking, how can I help? And there must be something that I can do to help. So he went into meditation. I can't remember how many, I think it was a 700-year meditation. He was meditating on the lotus feet of Vishnu, and Vishnu appeared and then asked Shiva, what is it that you desire? And he said that, my dear Lord, unless you empower me to, in some way, the people of the age of Kali Yuga will not be saved. They will drown in the ocean of nations. So with that request, Lord Vishnu embraced Shiva, and they became one, Sadhu Shiva, the culmination of Vishnu and Lord Shiva. At that time, Yamaraj appeared, and he had great concern. He said to Vishnu, my dear Lord Vishnu, if you appear as Sri Advaita Acharya, then Advaita Acharya will deliver everyone. And everyone will go back home, back to Godhead. That will leave me without a job. I'm very concerned about this. And then Vishnu replied, don't worry, that even though the majority of persons in this world will be inundated by the floods of love of God distributed by the Panchatattva as mentioned here, still there will be those who will persist in avoiding that mercy. And he gave a list of persons, the theologians, the scientists, the theologians, the atheists, the offenders. And he gave a whole list of die-hard upstart atheists and pretenders of knowledge. They will be available for you to take to hell. And with that reassurance, Yamaraj, he returned to his abode, and he was satisfied with that. There's a quote from the Navadvip Dham Mahatmya by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He narrates a conversation that took place between Lord Nityananda and Jiva Goswami, where Lord Nityananda prophesied that when our Lord Chaitanya winds up his pastimes, then at that time there will be a flood of water. The Ganges will flood throughout the land of Mayapur. And that flood will take place for 100 years. And after 100 years, the Ganges will secede. Would you say secede? Huh? Recede. and Mayapur will be manifested again. It not only will it be manifested again, but as we read Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is Gaurakishore Das Babaji's spiritual master? Huh? Back to Vinod. Now, who was the one that was, he was invalid and he... Jagannath Dasma. He will recognize the birthplaces and different leelas of Lord Chaitanya. So, and then at that time, many temples will be built, and there will be one large temple, and from that temple, Krishna consciousness will spread all over the world. So we can understand that it's the planetarium, the temple of understanding, that Prabhupada would point out that many of these big churches we have just here in London, St. Paul's Cathedral, big monument. But in one sense, many people see it as a monument. Not necessarily they go and come out with love of God. And then there's the Muslims who have their Mecca. Do they... I won't say too much on this subject matter, but the question is, are they monuments? Are they just monuments? Or are they places where you enter and then leave full of ecstatic love of God? And Prabhupada wanted his temple there in Mayapur to be not just a monument. It will be a monument. It'll be one of the wonders of the world. But he wanted it to be the temple of understanding, that when you walk in ignorance, you walk out with knowledge. So this will be then distributed throughout the world. From Mayapur, Krishna consciousness will spread throughout the world. I remember... it was back in 1973, the first Mayapur festival. At that time, there was only one building in Mayapur. It was the Lotus Building. And that had only just been completed. And all around that building, there were just paddy fields, rice fields. And on a morning walk, suddenly Prabhupada stopped and he said, "This is my international headquarters." And as disciples on that morning walk, we were a little bit confused. How can this possibly be a headquarters for Krishna consciousness? Because in those days we were looking at Los Angeles as the headquarters, because it was the biggest temple. It was inconceivable to even think that Prabhupada would even assume that Mayapur would be his international headquarters. Of course, we have no doubt today that vision that he had has become manifested. It's becoming more and more manifested. That Mayapur is the place if we want to actually charge our batteries and stay for a long period of time. Besides Vrindavan, Mayapur is our place for rejuvenation. It is our place where we can see firsthand this great manifestation of mercy of the Panchatattva in a form of Mayapur Dham, and specifically this temple of understanding. Lochan Das, in his Chaitanya Mangala, He quotes a passage which Lord Chaitanya said himself, "I have come to spread Krishna consciousness here in India. My Senopati, Commander-in-Chief Bhakta, will appear to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world." So even Lord Chaitanya prophesied Prabhupada's appearance in this world. He said that he personally will come and spread Krishna consciousness in the Western world. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita mentions that in a future time devotees from America, Europe, Russia, China, all over the world will come and associate with their godbrothers in Sridham Mayapur. They will chant Jai Satchinandana Gaura Hari in ecstasy. He also mentioned that there will be a great personality who will appear in order to fulfill this prophecy. When Srila Prabhupada himself was born, he was informed by astrologers that in later years of your life, you will open 108 centers. You will cross the ocean and open 108 centers. That was prophesied by an astrologer. When Prabhupada met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta for the first time, Bhaktisiddhanta made his request to Srila Prabhupada that you should go to the West and propagate Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. Prabhupada himself, even before he had made any significant in his preaching in America, he was once sitting on a park bench with one old man, and he told the old man that, "I have temples, I have farms, I have schools." He went into great detail of his mission, not in a sense that it was a mission, but he was saying that, "I already have them. It's not just a mission, but it's already there. There's just some time in between." We can actually say the same for the Temple of Understanding. It is already there. It is already manifested. It was manifested years and years and years ago, but there's just time that was in between. One time a disciple asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, why didn't you come earlier?" And Prabhupada said, "If I had came earlier, you would not have been able to understand what I am saying." So we can understand from this that time is essential, because it's Krishna consciousness is not being spread by us. We're simply instruments to the Panchatattva themselves, spreading their own Krishna consciousness. And here it's been very clearly stated by Prabhupada, it's not a question of whether Krishna consciousness will be spread or not. There is no doubt, he's saying here, that it will inundate the whole world. And as we were explaining yesterday, that inundation is like a constant shower of rain flooding the world, flooding individuals, so that all their material desires will not germinate. All the desires that they have at present, and all the unmanifest desires that are within the heart. So, anyway, needless to say, we are very fortunate to be at this present time, era of the Krishna consciousness movement. The Krishna consciousness movement will have a snowball effect. What's happened in the last 40 years will triple, quadruple in the next 40 years. You will see in your lifetime such changes in this world. We have to believe like that. Prabhupada once explained that when you go to a theater, there is the actors and there is the observers. The observers are waiting to be inspired by the actors. Otherwise, a theater room is null and void. But as soon as the actors come on and perform, then there's an atmosphere of change. In the same way, 99.9% of the people of this world, they're simply observers. Like it was mentioned here by Kali. Don't worry about a thing. How is it? He said, just blow your mind and do your own thing. Huh? These are observers. Dull heads. You know, we say sometimes, get a life. Get a life, because there is no life in them. Life is being extracted from them. However, in Krishna consciousness, life is being given to us. We're the actors on the stage of making a difference to this world. I used to be a hippie. One of our main concerns was to change the world, to make it better. We didn't accept the previous generation and what they stood for. So we became hippies. We were revolutionaries. We wanted change. Of course, our idea of revolutionizing the world was not exactly Lord Chaitanya's idea. But that's okay. At least we were thinking how this world could be changed. But in Krishna consciousness, we are making that effort. We are making that change. Yeah? We may, as individuals, perhaps we're not doing so much. Of course, in the old days, we had this idea that if we went to a particular town and distributed books, then we would most likely deliver the town by the end of the day. Of course, we became very disappointed that that was not the case, and that we would have to return over and over again in order to plant a few more seeds. But that's not our point. We're not saying that we're here to deliver everything in one go. But we're making a difference for ourselves at least, and perhaps a few individuals on the way. And the culmination of all the devotees doing this over many, many years, that makes a difference to the world. So instead of being passive observers, we should be dynamic preachers. That a day should not pass without approaching someone or helping someone who is already a devotee to encourage them in their service and bring them closer to the lotus feet of Krishna. This is what Krishna consciousness, this is what Srila Prabhupada wanted from his disciples and followers. So, on that note, today is Lord Ramachandra's day of killing Ravana with one arrow, right in the navel. We can also pray to Lord Ramachandra that he also fires an arrow within our minds and hearts to kill anything that's remaining that has nothing to do with inspiring us in the spreading of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So we should pray like that. Of course, we're very fortunate that the Lord has given one mantra. If we actually sincerely chant, if we sincerely chant the Hare Krishna mantra, the sound will enter the ears of the Lord, and he will take note, and he will personally assist in further advancement of our Krishna consciousness. But on these particular days, we can ask for some extra special favor. Please, Lord Ramachandra, fire your arrow. Please fire it into any part of me that is still contaminated with material desires, so I can serve you that much more better. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Panchatattva ki, Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Bol.